And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And Dan, before we go any further, I just have to say, I forgot to mention this last week, but it's last week was Greg Duncan's two-year anniversary of being our producer for the show. So, Greg, we love you. You make our jobs so much easier, and thank you for curating all the great stories that we bring you.
And everything else he does on Channel 9 as well. Like, Coding for Fun stuff's awesome.
Absolutely. So thank you, Greg. We love you. And let's get to our top story, which is big news this week.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we just announced, I think, earlier this week, the next chapter, if you will, by Steve Ballmer and Stephen Elop. So the idea is we are acquiring Nokia's devices and services to accelerate the Windows ecosystem.
Yeah, it's really unclear exactly what's going to come out of this, but certainly bringing together one of the world's best hardware companies with the world's largest software company has a lot
of
potential.
Design engineering, manufacturing, there's just a number of things that Nokia brings to the table.
Absolutely.
So, and if you think of Microsoft now as a devices and services company, I think a lot of developers are excited about the opportunity, knowing that they've played with Nokia devices and are like, these are great devices. So seeing kind of what'll come down in the future will be great.
Yes, absolutely. So stay tuned there. Also, 11/22/2013 or 22/11/2013, depending on your geography.
You're a Euro or not.
That's right. This is when the Xbox One will launch. Not a huge surprise here. Most of the console launches and the major innovations do launch around that week right before Black Friday in the United States, where the biggest holiday sales kind of kick off there. But this is also good for developers. 13 markets that this is going to be available in.
Yeah, previously, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the ID at Xbox program. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely an opportunity for developers to build on Xbox. And I think the big news is here, and I'll just rattle these off, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, New Zealand, Spain, UK, and USA. And more importantly, more markets are going to be rolling in 2014. So even though these are the launch markets, those 13, they're going to be doing a lot more in 2014.
Absolutely. So that's very cool. Another exciting thing to watch out for. So this week, Brian Harry announced, we don't usually cover these, kind of marketing discussions, but this is really important if those of you that have Visual Studio Test Professional or MSDN platforms, you may have been sitting on the sidelines watching all of your friends under the other MSDN subscription levels get free credit access to Windows Azure resources. Now this is available to you. If you're a Test Professional customer, you get a $50 per month credit. If you're an MSDN platforms customer, you get a $100 monthly credit. And these are really great to start doing dev tests in the cloud, taking advantage of IaaS, or really whatever Azure resources you might want.
Yeah, and we should say kind of what these are. So the idea is you have this money that you can use to build Azure applications and spin up, say, like instances. Like, I want a worker role, or, I'm doing something on hosting, and it really depends, or you're using storage. You can choose how you want to use that credit. So it lets you, again, you have free every month this credit to use on whatever Azure services you want.
That's right. Now, this is for dev test only, so it's not for production resources, but certainly $50 will get you pretty far in terms of being able to use VMs or other types of resources that you might need to use as part of your testing efforts.
Great.
Pete Brown has a great post this week. This is a post where he really details the experience they went through when they were designing the FL Studio Groove for Windows 8. And
right.
So he talks about one of the most common challenges that I see when anybody is starting to evaluate building a Windows Store application, and that is actually designing the layout of your hub. Where do I put things? What's the homepage that people see when they first visit? Am I asking people to kind of drill in versus scroll to the right for various menu items? And he takes you through a really detailed analysis where they looked at existing music applications that are in this space, looked at the desktop versions, and then tried to make sure that experience as you move to the Windows Store, the previous Metro language, was really a smooth one as they migrated that application over.
So, yeah, and he has the information architecture, like what's going to be the user flow? Like, how do people commonly use this application, and what makes sense from what goes on one screen versus another?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought it was a really great case study there by Pete.
So friend of the show, Ryan Salva.
Ryan Salva
on the Visual Studio Blog.
Ryan J. Salva.
Ryan J. Salva.
Yes.
Okay, we're going by middle names
now.
He's not a shooter. Okay, what's new for HTML developers in Blend? So this is for Visual Studio 2013, we should say. So this isn't, you do have to have that version. And some of the great things are, you can use the CSS animation. So Blend has this great tool that allows you to basically visually design animations, right? So at step zero, I want this thing to say move or grow 20%. Mm-hmm. I want the opacity to change from 50 to 100% and so on. And you're doing this visually. And what it's gonna do is spit out a CSS compliant CSS that you can use for your animations. So the classic one that he put there in the blog post was the Ken Burns effect, right? So you sort of had the grow and move, for images. Yeah. So people instantly sort of get that. Yeah. And the point is you get to design these CSS animations visually. So pretty awesome stuff. Another great thing is, of course, the data binding. So he mm-hmm. walks through some of the data binding templates that spits out good HTML. And just a bunch of other fit and finish stuff, some from JavaScript behaviors to rules and guides, just things that will help you build applications using WinJS.
Sidetrack, favorite Ken Burns documentary, go.
The War, I think it's the World War II one.
Yeah, that is definitely a good one.
That is the one, there's no question.
I like the Prohibition one. They're all great, obviously, but Prohibition one's really interesting. So, okay. Moving right along. This is a really great article because I have noticed that really good Windows Phone and Windows Store apps will do this, and that is that if you start using the application on kind of a regular basis, they'll encourage you to go rate and review the application. And that just makes great sense as a developer. Obviously, you want to drive those people that are kind of passionate users about your application to go rate and review. And so this is just a really tactical article. This is by Wala Atef, and he talks about how do you encourage the users to rate and review via popping that up to them without annoying them, and how do you put that into your application in such a way that it encourages them at the right time to go do that. So I've seen a lot of great apps do this. Those apps tend to have really high ratings in the marketplace, and probably not a coincidence there.
Cool, very cool. So this is .NET tips and tricks from daily .NET tips from Abhijit Jana. I hope I got that name right. I think we featured him before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of tips and tricks. Now, not all of these are 2013 features. There's some that have been in since 2005, right? So a classic example is 4R. You familiar with 4R?
No, I'm not.
It is a code snippet that does, you know how you type in F-O-R and hit tab? It does a little template, 4i mm-hmm. equals 1 to 10. 4R is automatically does that backwards. So let's say I have a collection and I need to go through that collection in reverse. Mm-hmm. 4R spits out the code to automatically go through that loop in reverse. Mm. So you don't get an off by 1. You start at 10 and only go to 1 as opposed to element 0.
Right. Okay.
But that's been in Visual Studio. People don't know about it. We've mm-hmm. been demoing it since 2005. Just plenty of other examples within there as well. So propfol, which is another one. So people are used to doing prop, which is sort of the automatically implemented properties. Mm-hmm. Propfol does the full getter and setter for you. So you don't have to write get, you know, value equals this and set. It'll just automatically spit it out for you.
That's great, because the one thing I hate when I'm writing code is actually having to write code.
Exactly.
So this is really good.
Boilerplate code.
Absolutely.
And a number of other features for 2013. So whether it's the code inspector or where you can see references and mm-hmm. automatically get a preview, there's just a number of things that I think will make you a more productive developer.
Excellent. And it looks like a great blog to pay attention to. This is a video that I did earlier in the week with Joshua Weber, and I wanted to make sure that I kind of flagged it here because Charles has been hijacking the Channel 9 homepage with this
going native thing. Yes, absolutely.
So it didn't get featured on the homepage, unfortunately. But if you're interested in the unit test generator that we mentioned briefly last week, I did a deeper dive video where you can find out how do you obtain this, how does the unit test generator actually work, and go get links to go download it. So great video from Joshua, who's obviously
We talked about this before. This is returning some of the functionality from Visual Studio 2010 where it automatically generates unit tests for you.
Right, except
based on your existing code.
In 2010, you could only do that for the MS test style unit tests. And now what you can do is you can do it for either XUnit or InUnit as well, which is great. So it's so really cool to see not only you know that feature come back, but come back with kind of a new modern style to it.
With style and flair.
Unit tests reimagined.
Yes. So this article is from Chris Missal, and it's 10 uses for real-time web technologies. So Chris has been talking a lot about real-time web. He has his own framework and talks about some of the differences between web sockets, where you're doing sort of connection between client-server and Ajax and some of the differences within there. And then also talked about some of the usages for this. One example, of course, being MMO games, for example, where you're going to need to have real-time data. And a number of others. Now, you looked at this as
Lots of opportunities in here. Yeah, like the example of being able to figure out, based on where the user's mouse is on your website, what you might want to promote to them. Maybe it's an ad. Maybe being able to monetize ads based on the amount of time that the user actually has it on their screen. I think we're just scratching the surface of what's possible now that these real-time web technologies are becoming so mainstream, if you will. Technologies like SignalR are becoming available for people to use. And so it's really interesting to read this article. I think he gives some 10 things that some of which I had heard of before, but some of which I didn't even think about were possible.
Yeah, some are, I think, more advanced, and some have, like, hey, this is more a concept, and you find people doing prototypes, but the technology is more in the Bronze Age versus the modern age.
Right, or even just a really simple one.
Analytics,
real-time charting. Yeah, exactly. Being able to just paint the chart throughout the course of the day. Maybe you're watching a stock ticker or something like that. So really exciting to see where this goes. Which brings us to?
Picks of the Week!
Picks of the Week. So this is our good friend of the show, Martin Woodward. Many people know Martin. And we just thought we would take the opportunity to plug that he has a new gig. So a lot of people know that he previously was on the Team Foundation server team responsible for Team Explorer. Team Explorer Everywhere, which is the Eclipse plugin for Team Foundation server. He also was one of the guys responsible for bringing Git repositories to Team Foundation server.
Love that.
And now he's still part of the broader Team Foundation server team, but he's specifically focused on trying to reimagine CodePlex and trying to make CodePlex the best shared source repository that it can be. So we're really excited for Martin and his new gig. He brings a wealth of experience, not only in the version control and kind of ALM side of the house, but also just a friendly face in the community that I think really gets it when it comes to understanding what developers want.
Absolutely, and I will send him my features that I want parity for GitHub immediately directly on his blog and continue to pester him because now I have a great contact.
Absolutely, and he's very responsive as well.
Absolutely. So our next comment was, or article was my pick of the week, which was Dan Delamarski, who did a great write-up. He actually spent this summer, this is his second summer, last time he was actually a vendor for us and did some awesome 2D game work. But this summer he actually was a program manager for Office.
An intern program manager.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should say program manager intern.
Yep.
And he actually has been given an FDE spot as well.
Yeah.
So he will be joining us as a full-time employee, so that's awesome. But the point is he kind of writes about the internship experience and how to get the most out of it.
He really seized this. I mean, I went in with low expectations for this blog post. I mean, a lot of interns kind of blog about, hey, you know, Microsoft, cool campus, met a lot of great people. But he really seized the opportunity. I mean, he reached out to guys like Alex Kipman.
He had that great quote from Charlie Kindle where he's like, what's the worst that can happen? He says no.
Yep. Absolutely. So he talks about why he wanted to make sure that he maximized his time here. He didn't waste any time playing Xbox or PC games or anything like that, which is probably a lesson for me. But but really, it's been impressive to watch him come in, maximize that experience, and then turn around and parlay that into a full-time job. I'm excited to see what he'll do once he's back as a blue badge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So congratulations, Den. We're excited for you. Nice post. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.